Elissa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show as we continue getting you ready for Super Bowl 45. Our next guest has a book out that perhaps will be one of the very best of 2011. High praise for this particular sports book. It's well written, has received some very favorable reviews from some of the biggest names in sports. Of course, we know him well right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Mark Cuban, and also Bob Costas. It is titled Scorecasting, The Hidden Influences Behind How Sports Are Played and the Games Are Won. We are delighted to have joining us here in Fort Worth, John Wertheim. He is the senior writer at Sports Illustrated. He is in town covering the Super Bowl. How are you, John?
Good. How you doing? A little cold, but otherwise good.
That's right. Welcome to the great state of Texas, and really looking forward to your insight on this book, because just tell us about Scorecasting. What was its objective, and what information will the reader come away with after reading this book?
We basically kind of wanted to write sort of a sports version of Freakonomics. It's a great book that sort of taught people to look at the hidden side of things and don't accept conventional wisdom and sort of go a little deeper with things you think you know. And we thought this would work great for sports. There's so many topics, whether it's home field advantage or whether it's sort of why referees call the call they do or punting on fourth down that, we just kind of accept. And what we wanted to do is kind of dig a little deeper and figure out why athletes and coaches and refs behave the way they do, and also sort of figure out what, whether these things we think we know, what holds true and what doesn't.
It really does change the way that you view sports after you go through the book. But so I got to ask you this, John, kind of talk to me here. What are some of the hidden influences? We got Super Bowl 45 in town. How's the sport going to be played and how will it be influenced?
Well, I mean, what we found is that sort of a lot of these biases and a lot of sort of these behaviors that exist, you and I go through when we decide to buy stocks or sell our house or order off a menu, they express themselves in sports too. So, for example, we have something called the omission bias, where we don't like to necessarily insinuate ourselves in a difficult situation. So, we might not sell our house at the right time because we don't want to make that bad move. We see the same thing with officials, that they're very reluctant to involve themselves in games, especially swallowing the whistle, they call it in sports. They're sort of very reluctant to involve themselves in games unless they have to. So, for example, with the Super Bowl, huge games, scrutinized by everyone, reputations get made. Don't expect a lot of close calls late in the game, especially if it's a close game, because the officials want to let the players decide the outcome. And the same way that you and I might not want to raise our hand in class or may not want to buy a risky stock, these guys don't want to necessarily involve themselves late in the game.
John Wertheim is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is the senior writer at Sports Illustrated, has a brand new book out. It is titled Scorecasting, The Hidden Influences Behind How Sports Are Played and Games Are Won. I have to tell you, share with you, John, that there are some things in the book that are controversial. And one of the things I want to talk to you about is, the Packers seem to be the slight favorite in Super Bowl 45. And it seems like as of late, they've played with so much momentum. And you talk about in the book that momentum doesn't exist in sports. I mean, you got to be kidding me. What are you talking about here?
we looked at this and sort of does a performance or does a shot or does a win have any sort of predictive value on the next one? And we found that surprisingly enough, the answer seems to be no, that it's really no different than random chance. And it sounds crazy that, of course a team's playing well or a guy's got the hot hand in basketball. But one thing in the book we did is we said, look, you flip a coin 100 times and it might end up being 50-50, but it's not going to be heads, tails, heads, tails. You'll get a run of 8 heads, then you'll get a run of 6 tails. And the same thing's true with momentum, that just because a guy bats 300, it doesn't mean 3 out of every 10 times he's up, he gets a hit. It means that over the course of a year, he'll get 30% of hits. So it's not crazy. It's not statistically abnormal if he goes 0 for 10 or if he goes 5 for 5. And what we see is basically it's not a whole lot different than random chance. You can't really predict a victory or a shot going in based on what the last one was. And if anything, with the hot hand, which is something we look at in basketball, it seems that once a player feels he's got the hot hand, once he's made 3 or 4 or 5 jumpers in a row, He starts taking more difficult shots. Teammates start getting him the ball. And if anything, his percentage goes down because he has this sort of false perception of what he's doing.
Well, it seems like, you can't do statistical analysis, on emotions, and they're not tangible. So, icing the kicker, as you're just talking about, the game of basketball, calling a timeout to, kind of shake up or lose the mental focus and edge with someone that's at the free throw line, that really doesn't work.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah, well, the same thing. Icing the kicker, icing the free throw shooter. It's conventional wisdom. That's what you do. It's late in the game. A guy's got a couple of big free throws. You let him think about it. But in truth, we find that it has no success rate. I mean, there's no sort of difference between that and just having him shoot it cold. And it's kind of the point where we think of anything, the better strategic play now is just make the guy go out there and kick the field goal cold, because they're so accustomed to getting ice. They're so used to, hey, I'm going to have 90 seconds to think about that. Same with free throws, that, it would really almost throw them if you said, go shoot these free throws right now.
I'm just curious, John, what kind of feedback are you getting from coaches that have had an opportunity to read this book?
It's funny you mentioned the momentum, because it seems, we talked with John Thompson, the old Georgetown basketball coach, who said, totally agree about the refs. I always said when teams go on the road, it has nothing to do with sort of fans booing. These are professionals. They know how to shoot the ball. It has nothing to do with, the locker rooms are small for the visiting team. It's all about the refs. But the one place we've gotten some disagreement is you hit on it, is the momentum. And we've had coaches say, look, if these guys have played sports, they know sometimes you feel it and sometimes you don't. And sometimes, your girlfriend broke up with you the night before and you're going to have a bad game. And, we don't deny that. I mean, clearly this is emotion. Clearly, when you're playing sports, we're doing more than flipping coins. But the notion that sort of your last shot has some sort of predictive value, predicting your next shot, that's where we think there's this falsity.
I think what was interesting, too, one of the points that you bring up in the book is why cold weather teams are no more likely to win at home when the weather is brutally cold or when it's warm.
We had a couple things with that. You always used to hear about, the poor San Diego Chargers or Miami Dolphins who had to go to the frozen tundra of Green Bay. And yet, a couple things are going on. I mean, first of all, there's very little evidence that winning percentage goes in, that there's sort of cold weather teams fare better in the cold and vice versa. Second of all, I mean, we're only talking about a couple games a year, so the sample size is small. And I think people also forget that just because the team is located in, Green Bay or in Buffalo or Cleveland, doesn't mean the players are from there. So, you grow up in Florida, you may have 3 or 4 games experience playing in 20-degree weather, but that doesn't really, it's not like they've played their whole lives there. And what we found is when these teams played in a neutral site, when they played in a dome stadium, which was sort of like our, I think in the book we called it our placebo test.
Yeah.
So they played in a sort of climate-controlled dome stadium, the winning percentage just stayed the same. So the Packers do no better against the Dolphins in Lambeau than they would, playing in a neutral dome site. So we think this whole notion that, we even heard that with the Super Bowl. If it's a cold day, it favors Green Bay. and Pittsburgh's obviously provide cold weather team too. But, we heard this in the past that, if it's a warm day and the Chargers are playing, they'll have a benefit. But it really, we find that, climate really has very little bearing on who wins and who doesn't.
John Wertheim has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of his book. It is titled Scorecasting. And as John was just talking about, we've got two cold weather teams right here in Super Bowl 45, the Steelers and the Packers. John, give us your expert analysis. Punch it all into that amazing calculator of yours. Who is going to come out on top?
Oh, I'm telling someone, I predict no close calls, and I predict play calling will be conservative. I'm here, Radio Row in Dallas here. I can't remember a time when it's been such an even split. I think this will be a close game. I think, we'll see how healthy Aaron Rodgers is, but this is really a toss-up game. I mean, if I had to pick, I'd probably run with Pittsburgh, but boy, this is really a... This is a tossing game.
You're absolutely right. On paper, they are so evenly matched. We're looking forward to the big game. John, thank you so much for stopping by. Hey, let's catch up with you again real soon.
Yeah, anytime. That'd be great.
You bet. We're going to step aside, getting ready for our Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peters. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson. Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum. And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss the game.
Dedicated to quality and service, Western Company of Texas has earned the reputation as the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible and can meet your water transfer needs anyplace, anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Western Company of Texas has a proven track record and has successfully completed thousands of water transfer jobs and can meet those last-minute deadlines. So if you're looking to transport water to your next completion job, then think Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps. They cover all the Barnett Shale with locations in Cleburne, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Western Company of Texas has a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available and ready to meet all your water transfer needs. Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps, committed to precision, performance, and competitive pricing. Excellence is not expensive, it's priceless. Call Western Company of Texas and the guys at the Green Pumps. They are the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Call 682-831-9300, 682-831-9300, or go to their website at wct.us.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter. Under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Yes, it is finally here. The Steelers and the Packers are set and ready for Super Bowl 45, and it is special for all of us here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, regardless of the competition and regardless of the weather, because this year's game features two of the NFL's most storied franchises. I mean, two of these teams have combined for a total of 18 NFL championships, including 9 in the Super Bowl era. But Sunday, it's going to make for the first time that these two have played each other for a title. And I'm so thrilled to be bringing in, he's with us every single week. He is our NFL, he's our college expert, former Carolina Panthers standout, Jason Peter. Jason, welcome aboard. And I'm sure it's just a balmy, minus 20 in Lincoln, Nebraska this weekend.
It's brutal up here, but we're not holding the Super Bowl up here. You guys down in Dallas are getting hit with some similar weather. I should be asking you, how's the weather down there? Is it shaping up to be Super Bowl weather at all?
Oh, it certainly doesn't feel like it. I had a hard time even opening my mailbox. But, you know, this brings up a great point and question, because when we talk about the Super Bowl, we want to reward these athletes and coaches, and we look ahead to where future Super Bowls are going to be held. I mean, Indianapolis, New Orleans, I mean, perhaps the temperatures will cooperate there, but East Rutherford, New Jersey, I mean, that to me, in my mind, I'm envisioning snow, sleet, and minus 30.
Well, yeah, even with Indianapolis, you're still talking about a dome game, as well as down in Dallas, but with Giant Stadium, or they don't call it Giant Stadium anymore now because I guess the Jets have equal rights in it, but the Meadowlands, the new Meadowlands, that's an open-air stadium. And for me, people don't want to go to a place that's cold for the Super Bowl. When you talk about businesses and the economic boom that the Super Bowl brings, a lot of that is because there's foot traffic in downtown areas, in old market areas, and who wants to walk around if it's snowing or it's 20 degrees outside? So I think it will play a huge factor in Super Bowls to come, like the ones that we mentioned. I think for Jerry Jones, I think this could probably be the worst thing imaginable when he was envisioning Dallas being on the Super Bowl circuit, along with the Miami and the San Diego. I think he envisioned, I built this facility, now it's just, what else could go wrong? Well, you could have a snowstorm, you could have an ice storm, and I think people, when they think Dallas, they think a much warmer weather climate from wherever they're coming from. And I don't think they expect there to be snow on the ground or having an ice storm when the Super Bowl is being played. So this, I think, could be probably the worst thing that could be facing Jerry Jones.
You know, it's interesting. You've got two cold weather teams in town with the Steelers and the Packers, and it was kind of funny. They had, you know, talked about during media all week long is that, you know, as soon as they stepped off the plane, they thought they were back in their hometown in their state. Because so let me ask you this, Jason. I mean, does it really matter as a player? What is your mindset? I mean, does it really, I mean, they're playing indoors, but does the weather matter?
I don't think for the players so much. I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff that you can do in Miami that's outdoors that you're not going to be able to do this week down in Dallas. And, you know, either way, they're down there for one reason. I think it affects more the fans that are going to the game. Will the NFL players that aren't playing, will they be more likely to go to a game and do promotional stuff if, you know, it's a cold weather climate? I don't know. I mean, imagine the guys that are getting paid are still going to show up, but who's going to say, let's go down to the Super Bowl for a week and hang out on the beach when it's snowing outside? And I think it plays an effect in more ways maybe for the people that are going down to enjoy the Super Bowl rather than the guys that are playing.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. It's going to be a short segment. He, of course, is the former defensive standout with the Carolina Panthers and a three-time national champ at Nebraska. Let's zero in on the quarterback position. We want to get your breakdown and quick analysis. Of course, championship runs start and end at the quarterback. You've got the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger, and truly it's going to showcase two of the NFL's best.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of people give Aaron Rodgers the nod here, and they're giving him the nod over a guy that has two Super Bowl wins under his belt. And people are talking about if he gets this one, is he a Hall of Fame guy? I think when you look back at the last Super Bowl that he won, he didn't play that well. I think he went 9-for-21. And, you know, that's the thing about Pittsburgh is I think they're such a well-built team all the way around on defense. They're always great on defense. They always can rush the ball, and I think that's the same for this year's team. Is you know, they rush the ball very well, and they shut down the run. Those are kind of rule number one and rule number 1A that football coaches constantly preach to their players. We got to be able to rush the ball, and we got to be able to shut down the run. So it's kind of odd for me to see so many people siding with Green Bay, and maybe it's just because they don't like Ben Roethlisberger and the things that he's been through, and now he's kind of this whole changed man. And he gives glory to God everywhere he goes, and you know, let's face it, it hasn't been that long. It hasn't been a year since those accusations have been brought to the table. And you know, it's not the first time that they've been brought to the table. So for Aaron Rodgers, a guy that this is his first Super Bowl that he's playing in, it is kind of interesting to see people siding with him. I mean, you're hearing all the things about what Aaron Rodgers does well and how he plays well in a dome situation, which obviously they're going to be playing in on Sunday. You know, when the lights are shining the brightest and everything's on the line, you just never know what's going to happen. And it's the first time for Rodgers, so I'm excited to see what happens. And as well for Roethlisberger, I want to see what he does, because I think a lot of people look at this as he can almost wipe the slate clean if he wins this Super Bowl, that everybody's going to forget about all the garbage that went on in this past year. So we'll find out.
One of my final questions for you, Jason. You're a defensive guy, of course, as I had said, a former defensive standout with the Carolina Panthers. Your thoughts on the defensive player of the year in the NFL and Troy Polamalu?
Well, I mean, we talked about him last week. You can't go wrong with this guy. And the guy that finished a close second was Clay Matthews. And they're both just tremendous football players. They don't know the term half speed. These guys are more than just players, though. They're leaders. And I think they set a standard for what they expect their teammates to do. I think the biggest compliment you can get as a player is he makes everybody around him better. And
right.
I think that's what not only Troy does, but I think Clay does as well. So they're two guys that are the best at what they do, and they deserve all the recognition that they get.
My final question for Jason Peter this weekend on the Big E Sports Show as we get set and ready for Super Bowl 45 is, who is your pick? I'm going with the Steelers.
I'm going to have to back you there. I was wanting to go with Green Bay, and I think my heart probably wants Green Bay, but I just think from what I said earlier about being able to rush the ball and being able to stop the run, I think those are the things that you got to do. And for me, Aaron Rodgers, just he's not played in this game before, and the game's going to be on his shoulders. I just like Green Bay. I just like Pittsburgh's team rather than Aaron Rodgers.
Jason, enjoy the game, and we look forward to getting your post-game analysis next week. I know this was a speedy segment, but we look forward to hearing from you next week. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks, Alyssa. Take care in that cold weather.
Okay, I'm going to zip up real tight. We'll be right back here in just a moment on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.